Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
I want to just, those of you that are hanging out with me the rest of the morning, I want to just give you a follow-up a little bit from last week. So we responded last week. We were in the Mark 2 text where four friends carried the paralytic to Jesus. And we responded by just symbolically taking a step of faith to write a loved one's name on a little piece of paper, and we pinned it to the cross just as a way to take a step of faith. And I just want you to know that those prayers are not lost. This past week, we had a leadership team meeting, our leaders of this campus. We were together on Zoom, and we began our meeting praying. I stopped by and grabbed a handful of those names, and we prayed together as leaders over the request and the names that you put there. And so I would just say that to be reminded that prayer is not lost. God hears everyone, and we are joining together with you in praying for this people that we are symbolically, that we're carrying on a mat of sorts. And that station is always open. If you want to put someone's name or request up there, we do pay attention. We do pray for those names. So just be encouraged today that I believe God's on the move and doing some things, and that's a beautiful thing. So today, as we get started, I want you to close your eyes. Now, I know it's risky on a Sunday morning where it's raining, but I'm trusting you not to go to sleep. So I want you to close your eyes. Today, we're going to talk about a blessed life, a blessed life. And so with your eyes closed this morning, nobody's going to play a trick on you. I want you to imagine in your mind a blessed life. I want you to envision it, to picture it in your mind. When you think about living a blessed life or what a blessed life is, picture it in your mind today. A blessed life. Now, before you start snoring, why don't you turn back to me here for a second. I wonder, as you envision a blessed life, what comes to your mind? Does a picture like this come to mind for anyone? Judging by that reaction, I'm saying so. Yeah, okay. There's no, I'm like, I'm kind of down with this. This will be okay. Right? How about this one? As you think of a blessed life, do you think of a great big family picture, generations together and grandkids to spoil? Yeah. Yeah. A blessed life. I know some of you might be thinking this week after graduation that this is a blessed life. Hallelujah, we're done. We made it. Maybe that's blessing. Maybe if you work in the school system, maybe this is more your speed. Hallelujah, we are blessed, we made it. I can drink coffee in peace this week. What do you think of when you think of a blessed life? Man, if I was going to put up a picture, it might have to include one of these. I mean, nobody's surprised, I understand, but yeah, that's got to be in there somewhere, right? What about one more picture? So, what about this blessed life? Like, this is the blessed life we all want, right? It's really summed up in one picture. Some of you are studying this pretty hard. I'm not talking about a blessed life. We didn't just switch metaphors from the beach to the mountains. There's something different about this. You see, the blessed life in this picture is not about the river. It's not about a float trip with your buddies. It's not about a nap under a shade tree. It's about a tree planted beside the waters. That's a blessed life. Psalm 1, verse 3 says that that person, that speaking about a blessed life, a blessed person, that person is like a tree planted beside streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So as the Bible envisions a blessed life, this is the picture. This is it. And I mean, there's something different about this, right? Because the best vacation, it's going to end. After graduation, spoiler alert, you got to go to work, start paying taxes. It's like the worst thing ever. Sorry. It's coming. Even boats, man, they wear out. Boat stands for bust out another thousand. She has her own thoughts about that, Bob. But the life, the blessed life that the Bible envisions is different. You see, it's a life that is rooted, that is steadfast in the storms of life. It's fruitful, it's life-giving, it's blessing for others. And I wonder today, are you living a blessed life? Are you living a truly blessed life? Today we're starting a new teaching series in the book of Psalms. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to take a deep dive into four different psalms. The whole book of Psalms is a large collection of poetry, of poems written by various different authors spanning 1,000 years of time. Many of these poems, poetry, they were lyrical in nature and they were intended to be set or sung with music. As you look at the content of these 150 different works, they cover a large range of our human experience and our relationship with the Lord. They cover times of blessing and celebration, and they cover times of despair and desperation. And that range of human experience and relationship with God makes the Psalms a valuable tool for our life and walk with the Lord today. And our series begins with Psalm 1, not just because it's the first one, because in many ways, Psalm 1 is an introduction to the entire work of the book of Psalms. And so it kind of makes sense that we would start our journey there today. I'm going to read the psalm in its entirety, and before you panic, it's only 6 verses. But we're going to do this a little different today. I would just, if you are able, would you stand for the reading of God's word today? I'm going to be reading out of the NIV. The text will be on the screen. There's a YouVersion app created if you want to follow along on your smartphone. But Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction." This is the word of the Lord. Friends, you can be seated. Psalm 1 is really about two ways of life. It speaks of a blessed life and a life that leads to destruction. And right here at the beginning of our series, and really the entire book of Psalms, it's challenging us to consider what life we are living. It challenges us, what life are you living today? Are you living the blessed life? Are you on another path? A path that the scriptures are warning us leads to destruction. Which path are you on today? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We believe and we trust today that your word never returns void. And so, God, as we're taking time out, as we're taking a deep dive into your word today in Psalm 1, I pray that you would search us, that you, using your word and by your spirit, would speak to us, would allow this to be a mirror that we can reflect on our own life and hear your invitation to intimacy with you. Lord, have your way today. with all that is said and done, help us to hear and to respond obediently to your voice today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to do a deep dive, kind of going line by line or verse by verse. So we're going to read a little and unpack as we go. So let's jump into verse 1. It begins, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers." This verse begins with the word blessed. Depending on your translation, it may say something like, "Happy is the one." In the Bible, in this context, blessed is much less about a feeling and much more about a condition of life. It's much more about a condition of life. To be blessed is to be satisfied, to be full, to be content regardless of circumstances. If you look at this word's usage, especially in the Psalms, it really refers to, blessing refers to the person who is in right relationship with the Lord. The person who is experiencing the blessing of relationship with Him, the eternal life that He offers, the forgiveness of sins, that is the blessed life in Scriptures. For example, Psalm 32, 1 and 2 says, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and whose spirit is no deceit." As the Bible sees it, the truly blessed life has much less to do about big, amazing, awesome, gotta have them fishing boats, and much more about the condition of our soul, about our inner life. The truly blessed life is about our heart and our soul. So how do we live it? What's the secret? And that's really where the psalmist goes. He says, "Blessed is the one who does not." And so what's happening is that he's beginning to unpack this blessing in the negative sense. Blessed is the person who does not. It starts out with three things not to do if you want to live a blessed life. He says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers." Most commentators on this passage see a progression, if you will, in choices and in conduct and severity. And so it begins, it says, don't walk in step with the wicked. Your translation might say something like, don't walk in the counsel or the advice of the wicked, of those who don't know the Lord. And so this warning begins, it says, not to conduct your life by the thinking or the philosophy of the world. Don't allow the world's messaging, its values, its morals, its principles to be your guide. Don't walk in that path. Don't allow that to pull you away. Don't live your life by the storyline of the world. And next it says, the blessed person does not stand in the way of sinners. So we've gone from walking to standing. And standing here gives the idea of support. You may have heard the phrase, "I'm taking a stand on this issue." What the scripture is warning us here is that we are not to take a stand with the values. We're not to align ourselves with the morals of the world. We don't take a stand. We don't align with that story. Don't put yourself in support of a life of sin, a life opposed to the Word of God. Don't take your stand there. And the text ends, it says, finally, blessed is the person who does not sit in the company of mockers. So walk, stand, to now sit. And this idea of sitting conveys a settled state. It's about being comfortable. And it's saying, hey, the blessed life does not get comfortable living in the way of the world and sin. Don't allow yourself to go there. And so in short summary, what this is doing, what this is pointing to, the blessed life is one lived that is not compromising with sin in the way of the world. The blessed life, the truly blessed life, is one that takes sin seriously and lives accordingly. The blessed life, as the Bible and the psalmist sees it, is a life of purity and righteousness. And look, this doesn't mean that we cut ourselves off and we go live in a little compound somewhere. That's not what this is saying. But it's just inviting us to take this seriously, to lean in, to consider where we're walking, what we're standing up for, where we're sitting. There's a clear and present warning to resist that pull, the messaging of the world. And I think if we would pause right here and just be honest, like, this is speaking to a direct temptation that we face in our lives as believers. You see, the temptation to believe that it's not a big deal if you have a bad temper and blow off a few cuss words at somebody, or you go on a huge rant tearing people down on social media. It's okay. We're drawn in to believe things like that. We are sold a storyline that, hey, it's okay to get a little tore up on Saturday night as long as you're in church on Sunday. Country music fans, you feel seen right now. I'm just it's okay. But right, like, there's a message there. There's a message about our relationships, about marriage, and we're tempted to believe that, oh, the Bible's way of viewing marriage and relationships, that's old-fashioned and prude. Look around. People are doing whatever they want, and they're fine. What's the big deal? Friends, I think the psalmist loves the Lord enough and loves you and I enough to say, guys, that is not the path to blessing. Don't allow yourself to be sucked into the messaging of the world. Don't take your stand there, friends. That's not true blessing in life. Be careful. Be careful. He says, if you want to experience true life, you got to focus on something different. And that's where he takes us in the next verse. It says, it started out with what not to do. Now in verse 2 it says, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. So we began this passage with what to avoid, and now it turns our attention to the secret of blessing, the secret of life. It's to delight in the law of the Lord, to meditate on it day and night. In this context, the law of the Lord is not narrowly focused on like the Ten Commandments or just the law of Moses. It's focused on the whole revealed word of God as the key to blessing, the blessing of life. And it talks about meditation, and I just need to clear this up. This is not saying that we should take our Bible, place it on a chair and sit on it, and then just go, That's not meditation that the Scripture's calling us to. We need to understand there's two schools of meditation. In the Eastern thought, Eastern religion, meditation is all about emptying your mind of all thoughts. That's not what Psalm 1 is talking about. The meditation that the Bible is instructing us to is to fill our minds with the Word of God. That we intentionally continue to put it there and meditate on it, keep it there day and night. And according to Psalm 1, that's the key to a blessed life. To delight in the Word of God means that we should find enjoyment and fulfillment in reading it, knowing that we're leaning in relationship with our Heavenly Father, that it's a continual part. It says day and night, a continual part of what we're doing, what we're thinking about. And again, if we press pause here, I would just confess to you that this idea is challenging me. Delight in the Word of the Lord. It's no shock to you, anybody that knows me at least, I delight in fishing. Well, how's that show up in your life? Well, it's a problem. I think about it all the time. Every time I cross the Shenandoah River, it doesn't matter if it's down here on 33 or up at the Linwood Bridge or the Port Republic Bridge, every time I cross that water, I'm looking at what's the level and what's the color. I can't help it. Because those two factors tell me how urgently I need to get there. And so I wish it was just the river, but you see, I follow the striper fishing pages for Lake Anna and Smith Mountain. I can't even get there, but I want to know what's happening. I want to have my pulse on what the fishery is doing. And when I do get a day off, you can kind of already put the pieces together what's going to happen. I'm going. I delight in fishing. What's challenging me is this scripture saying, hey, we need to delight in the Word of God. Ooh. Is that true of my life? Man, if you looked at my social, look, I don't use social media that much, but if you look there, would you see a delight for the Word of God? If you could get in here while I'm riding down the road, would you see a delight for more than what color the water is today? Do we delight in the Word of God? The psalmist is saying, friends, that's the secret. It's that we would fill our minds with His Word, meditate on it, chew on it day and night. Man, if you're like me and you're thinking that that's an area that you can use a little help, you might consider praying, Lord, please help me delight in Your Word. He will help you. He'll help you. Let's continue. It says that person, so the person delighting and meditating on God's Word, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Friends, this is the picture of a blessed life. This picture is a chinquapin oak tree. It happens to be the largest one registered in the state of Virginia, and it's right here in Elkton, situated on the banks of the Shenandoah River. And friends, this is literally the picture, the image that the Bible is giving us of a blessed life. This is the picture of a life who is taking delight, the person who's taking delight in God's Word. And you look at that and think about the life it's trying to communicate. It's rooted, it's perseverant. It's steadfast in the face of trials. It's a prosperous life, bearing fruit and bringing life and enjoyment for others. It's constant, consistent, it's celebrated. There's just something majestic about that. It's a blessed life. And that picture of a blessed life today stands in stark contrast to the other way of life. Let's continue. Not so the wicked. You can see the turn in verse 4. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of wicked leads to destruction. If you catch that, the author's switching metaphors here. He's switching from the picture of a blessed life of a giant majestic oak beside the river to a kernel of wheat in the outer shell that is thrown away called chaff. Wheat and chaff is the imagery that's popular in the Bible. And to help us really understand the difference that the psalmist is trying to get at, I found a video this week that shows a recreated or a reenacted threshing floor where the chaff is separated from the wheat. Watch the difference in this video.
The wheat with the threshing board as he pulls the dog or the donkey around. Is this Mosey?
Yes.
This is Mosey, and which means banana. So he pulls the threshing board around and it separates the wheat from the chaff. And then, on a good windy day, then you take the winnowing fork, which is also mentioned in Scripture, and you throw it up in the air, and then just like it says in Psalm chapter 1, the wind blows the chaff away, and the wheat that's everywhere will fall down to the ground. You can gather it and maybe start making your bread. Now, if you might remember, the book of Ruth mentions the threshing floor, where Ruth went to go have a conversation with Boaz. And then you also might remember that Jesus was walking through a grain field one day, happened to be a Sabbath day, and his Jesus' disciples were hungry, so they started plucking the heads of grain, they rubbed it in their hand, blew the chaff away, started eating the kernels of wheat. And it was a Sabbath day, and there was some picky people around, and they came to Jesus and said, your disciples are breaking the Sabbath. Why are they breaking the Sabbath? Now, why were they accusing them of breaking the Sabbath? Because by threshing the wheat in their hand, they considered that working, so they said they were breaking the Sabbath. Jesus had a very good answer for them. He said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath was made so that mankind can learn how to rest and enjoy the things that God richly provides, not to be under a bunch of heavy rules and regulations. And then to show us that he had the authority to interpret it, he says, and the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.
Quite a contrast from a tree planted by the waters, right? The chaff that was blowing away, when he took that pitchfork, the winnowing fork, and threw it into the air, the dust that you see blowing away is the chaff. And that's the picture of a life lived in rebellion and sin. The complete opposite of a blessed life. It's fleeting. It's temporary. And the psalmist mentions judgment. And so what we see is that the difference in this life is not only now, but it looks forward to the future judgment. And it says, those who have chosen that life will not stand. The psalm ends in verse 6 with a direct contrast. You see, the promise of God's presence and watchful care over the righteous, the blessed, and it's contrasted with the way of the wicked that leads to destruction. You know, there's one thing that you're going to find as you engage in the Psalms. They don't hold back from asking hard questions and telling hard truth. This psalm points for us two choices, two ways of living. It shows us the path of a blessed life and a path that's leading to destruction. And I can't help but wonder today, what life are you living? What life, what path are you on today? Are you living a blessed life? As the band makes their way forward, I went by to visit this oak tree twice this week. I needed to get pictures for this presentation. So Wednesday morning, I made my way down the windy gravel road. And I pull off in a little parking spot there close to that tree. It's pretty solid, pretty open, pretty solitude back there. And so I just hopped out of the road. I'm just standing in the middle of the road looking at this. And Wednesday was busy. I had appointments starting at 8:45 in Harrisonburg and going all day. So I was kind of in a hurry. But I jumped out. I'm standing in the road, and I'm looking at this thing. Now, I enjoy the outdoors as much as anyone. And so I like a good big tree as much as the next person. It's naturally pretty cool to me. I mean, I don't know that it's a travel destination, but that's kind of where my mind's at as I'm looking at this thing. So I'm kind of checking my watch, keeping an eye on the times, like I got to get going. So I start to try to get a few pictures to use today. And I'm walking around this thing trying to get the right shot, and I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, why is this the picture that Psalm 1 gives us? What is it about this that the psalmist says, this is a blessed life? Like that's kind of the meditating thing, right, that we talked about. You're just thinking about it and mulling it over, and I'm just walking around this tree, taking pictures, looking at it, going, why is this the picture? And as I'm processing this, I kind of step under, and the canopy is huge. And I step under the canopy of this giant tree and look up. And that's when it kind of hit me. Because if you look up inside the canopy of that massive tree, you will see branches. And I'm not talking about like branches. I'm talking about branches that are broken off. I mean, branches the size of whole trees that have snapped off this thing somewhere in its lifetime. And it's still there. Man, you start thinking about a life blessed. It's a life that can stand when things are broken. There's a placard there by this tree. It says that it dates back to 1700. If we took that at face value, I want you to think for a minute what this chinkpin oak tree has been through. If the 1700 dating is correct, this is not a history test, it's okay. The Revolutionary War was 1775 to 1780 couple. That tree was there. Let's jump forward. Civil War. That tree saw it all. Let's take another big leap. Recent Elkton history. 1985, who remembers the flood? Yeah. When the water was touching or all about to come across the bridge over here on 33, that tree was there. Think about the storms that tree's been through, the droughts, the hurricanes. That's the picture. It's still there. There's massive chunks of this thing that have been broken off. I wish I knew the storm. There's massive pieces of this thing, old stubs and scars of storm past that are still visible today. But you could go there right after this service beside the bank of the river and see that tree planted beside the water, standing strong for generations. Friends, that's the blessed life, rooted and steadfast, a subtle reminder of perseverance that's really easy to miss. And friends, if I'm honest, the majesty and the wonder of that life is easy to miss. It's easy to miss because it doesn't look like the things we normally think about. It's not a cruise ship in the Bahamas, a giant 401k, or even a really nice boat. It's something more. And I say that it's easy to miss because our world constantly feeds us a story about what it means to be blessed. And look, there's some awesome, have a big family, have generations, have a nice boat. I'd like to go ride on it with you. You see, the issue is not those things. The issue is when we believe that life comes from them. When we believe that the acquisition of those things means blessing. The scriptures come and say, no, it's about a tree. It's about leaving a legacy. It's about providing life for generations. It's about standing strong in the storm. And I don't mean to be discouraging to you today, but storms are going to come to your life. There are going to be things that break you. What you're rooted in and what you're trusting in are going to matter. They're going to be the difference between life and death. Are you going to find yourself planted by streams of living water in God's presence in His Word? Or are we going to be living a life that is simply blown away in the wind? What's it going to be? What life are you living? Don't miss it. Don't miss it. The life of true blessing is easy to miss. It's not flashy. Friends, the secret to a blessed life for us today is found in Jesus Christ. It's not just that we can memorize a book and be blessed. It's about finding our life and our existence in Christ Jesus and allowing the living Word to come and dwell within us, and that we are saturated in His Word, in His presence, that we are constantly bringing ourselves into mind with Him. Allowing Him to have His way, to grow our roots deep, that we will bear fruit in season as He provides. that generations yet unborn would hear about your life and your faith, and they would know the secret of a blessed life. What life are you living today, friends? What life do you want for yourself? That's Psalm 1. Would you stand with me? And let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today. Lord, I thank you for the honesty of your word. Lord, that your word loves us enough to call us out to say, hey, the path of blessing's not where you think. It's not coming from the way and the people you think. It's only going to come from me, from the Lord. Lord, I pray today as you have given us this mirror of Psalm 1 where we come to this text and we stand before it and we see our life in its reflection. Lord, will you show us today the life we're living? Lord, would you call out of us where we're walking in step with those who are in sin, where we've got comfortable living in the ways of the world? Lord, would you just show us outright if we're living a life like the chaff, blown away, headed for destruction? Oh, Jesus, we need you. We need your forgiveness and your life within us. Lord, I pray that you would give us the hunger to dive into your word, to be in your presence, to be ever mindful of you day and night, to find delight there, Lord. And Lord, to trust you. Lord, we don't have to worry about growing because you plant us and you tend to us. You grow our life. Our job is to trust you. Lord, I want to live a blessed life. I pray that you would tune my heart to desire that life ever more than the blessing that the world gives. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. Friends, the band's going to lead us in a response song. I would just invite you not to miss this opportunity to pray. Don't turn too quickly away from the mirror that Psalm 1 has given you to look at your life. Moments of seeking.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.